Good morning. Welcome to this morning's broadcast, and thank you very much for being able to receive the Dharma through this media. What a summer we've had as it slowly draws to a close. We've managed in a matter of days to prepare for Obong, as well as for two sequential storms of nearly hurricane status. Imagine the situation for both are worrisome and labor-intensive. Both take extreme planning in detail with similar shopping lists of ice and water. And we breathe a sigh of relief when both have passed. One is a cycle of nature and the ways of the water and the winds. The other, a cycle of religious tradition. One is without an aim and the other, a clear expression of gratitude for honoring the past and celebrating the present. Summer is also a time of travel and vacation. And I do appreciate being able to have time for vacation. My son's daughter-in-law, my grandchildren, spent some time this summer in Yosemite, Mammoth, and San Jose. It was an adventure again for all of us. This is the first trip that the grandkids have taken where there were not anywhere near a city, fast food establishment, and did not take a car ride for 5 days. No newspaper, no TV, no radio. And yet, we were never more than a blink of an eye and a tap on a screen to be so in touch with the world. So I wondered, why did we come all this way to get away, and yet we stayed so much in touch? As much as I appreciate the convenience of tech tools, I miss the kind of adventure that can only come when you get lost between Interstate 880 and State Highway 120. With such tech devices, you don't have much opportunity for serendipitous moments where there is no room for error. Well, you know when your family are city folks, when they cheer at the cows in the pasture, when they think that squirrels are kittens, and when they think the almond orchards are the forests, and they think the mules are the same as horses. We have made many trips as a family over years, and this probably will be the last trip that we will make based on several conditions. One, the changing interests between generations. I can't take part in some of the activities because I no longer run, jump, or climb and still keep my balance. The grandchildren are not as easy to persuade to hike in the forest as compared to hike in a mall or to an Apple store. Not everybody would be convinced that PBJs are okay for dinner when there are no fast foods open within 100 miles. And four, Trader Joe's is a preferred over homemade preserves from local fruit stands when it comes to buying omiyage. For most of us as we travel, we are reflective about our experience in terms of the impact that it has in our lives, no matter how old or young we may be. For me, this trip had me looking at the evolving human activity of travel that has become a major global economic force. My first time traveling was by air from an obscure airfield on Kauai, not for the purpose of fun, but for fulfilling family obligations of visiting relatives. And that's all we did. You sit and visit and don't monku. And this evolution of travel even became a course of study at our university. Coupled with the human movement of the changing nature of activities that are offered for entertainment and interest, where once the point of interest would be the breathtaking view of the Grand Canyon or Waimea Canyon, has evolved to hiking the canyon, climbing the cliffs of the canyon, and camping in the canyon. For our family trip, it was all about the mountains, and here is where we parted ways. The family climbed, hiked, and biked the mountains. Me, I stood in the meadows and let the mountains come to me. Some people see the mountain as a challenge and seek to conquer it. Others see the mountains as beauty and seek to capture it or replicate it. Others see the mountains as alive and seek to be embraced by it. And others see the mountain as an economic opportunity and seek to profit from it. The changing nature of travel are slow and gradual, and that it is so easy to move with the change. It is easy to embrace the changes, for they are not dramatic and jarring. When these changes come about, they are easily accommodated into our life patterns. As I pondered how we related with each other individually as members of the same family, I was reminded of a calligraphy that hung in the dormitory of the Institute of Buddhist Studies that was done by a grandparent of a former Monshu. In the collected works of Shinran, this cites the 6 respectful ways to foster harmony in the monastery or the sangha. This is also applicable when it comes to living with other individuals, kin or not. This is the part of the larger sutra. In it, we talk about the bodhisattva's actions through 6 respectful and harmonious actions. And this is a way to foster harmony in the sangha. 1 is to engage in the same bodily deeds. And it sounds, in the translation, it sounds very stark. But when you think about it, if we would worship together in the same manner, if we would behave in the same manner, our bodily actions. And that for us in this trip, if we could share in the same activities as hiking, biking, climbing, those would be our bodily activities that we could share. Also, the number 2 of the 6 are verbal deeds. And for in a family, it would be in terms of using kind words, gentle words, thank you, please, and I'm sorry. And in a family, it is to refrain from gossip, to promote the harmony. 3 are the mental deeds, sharing the same mental deeds, things like having a positive attitude, positive thinking, how to share ideas, how to offer judgments without being critical or condemning. 4, sharing the same precepts. And in this family, it would be, what are the rules of the family? What are our patterns of behavior? And who goes first? Things like, how do we decide? What do we do? How would we behave? And can we disagree? Also, 5 is to share the material offerings. In a household, this is easy to do. When there is enough, we can share. But when there is not enough for everyone, how do we share? A very few of us, I think, who are listening, ever experience having to do without. And so how would we proceed in a family, in a sangha, in a community, to share the material offerings without fairly and for those in need? And the last one is to hold same views. Now, the same views is not as like having the same thoughts, but to have the right view, to accommodate different views and how we respond when we have different views. In other words, right view in terms of being respectful and honoring the ability and the opportunity for people to have different views. These were completely outside of my thoughts when we spent time together on the trip. And if I could have been quicker to bring this to my consciousness, I probably would have had a more peaceful time, and so would my family. Thank you for sharing with me today, and to remember that we can promote the harmony through the Dharma. Namo Amida Butsu.